Please be seated. Well, it is so good to be with you here this morning. The last time that I stood in this pulpit on a Sunday morning was as a supply priest for your rector then, Gary Coffey. I was the guest preacher, which reminds me of that story, a church out in the eastern part of North Carolina. Sometimes those guest preachers tend to go on a little too long. And so their tradition was that if that began to happen, the folks in the back pew began to hum. And if that didn't get the preacher to bring his message to a close, more and more people began to hum to help sing him down. So though I do not feel like a guest preacher this morning, as I feel as if I am part of one of you, I still give you permission to hum. If I go on a little bit too long, and of course our rector Millie has an exemption to this tradition.
They can't hum you down.
So let's pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the gift of this day. We thank you for the rising of your sun this morning, casting your light upon the beauty of your environment that surrounds us. And now I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would rise up within us, that the light of Christ would rise up and shine upon the landscape of our hearts. Holy Spirit, come and be in my words, be in the meditations of our hearts, that both will be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I tried to focus on just one of the stories in the gospel lesson this morning. And the more I tried, the more I kind of just, And so the Lord kind of put the finishing touches on it this morning around 5 o'clock. So here we go. We'll see what it's going to look like, okay? We're going to do that together. And last week, the gospel lesson, there was a storm. It was a violent storm. The disciples and Jesus were crossing the Sea of Galilee. The waves were so high, they were swamping the boat. In this morning's gospel, there is another kind of storm. It's a storm of illness. It's a storm that is life-threatening to Jairus' daughter. It is a storm of chronic illness to the woman with a bleeding disorder. So these storms are common to us, aren't they? We have all been in those kind of storms where health and disease and illness come at us, and sometimes we're really not quite sure of what the outcome is going to be. So where I want to begin, because these two stories are so intimately connected, we're going to talk just briefly about each one. And so where I want to start is what the stories have in common, and there is much. For example, both Jairus and the woman have come to Jesus for help. Both are acting out of desperation. Jesus heals the woman and heals Jairus' daughter. And interestingly, Jesus has something very specific to say to both Jairus and to the woman. To the woman who is suffering from this chronic illness of hemorrhaging for 12 years. That's hard to imagine. 12 years. He says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. What I began to think, what hit me first, was that the timing of this is really odd. Jesus is saying this after the woman has already reached out very quietly, kind of in a stealth mode, and reaches out in the crowd and touches his garment. And she actually, it's written, Mark writes that she felt in her body that she was healed. She experienced that. And then, but Jesus says, Your faith has made you well. Now go in peace and be healed of your disease. He is saying this after she has already been physically healed. So it says to me that there is more healing than Jesus wants her to experience. And remember now, in the Levitical code of the Old Testament, this woman would have been labeled as unclean due to her bleeding disorder. In fact, anything that she would touch, they would understand, they would see as being contaminated, including people, and in this story, Jesus. They would have seen that touch as contaminating Jesus himself. And so, folks that were labeled in this way by Levitical code, they were required when they were in public, just like someone suffering from leprosy. She would have to say unclean. She would have to shout the words unclean. Can we imagine what that would be like out in public? And so what comes with that, with this sense of being seen as unclean and anything she touches would be contaminated, my sense is that she would feel very, very isolated. She would have real loneliness. She would no longer have a sense of belonging, because anywhere she would go, the tendency would be for the people to shun her because she was seen as unclean. And this lasted not 1 year or 2 years or 6 years, but 12 years. And so Jesus was now saying to her, I think, is that be healed. Is that go back home. Go back home to your family and friends, into your hometown. Let yourself be healed through their warm hugs. Receive the healing that comes with belonging and family community once again. Jesus healed her bleeding disorder with power, it says. Power flowed from his body. Her broken heart and her loneliness and isolation was healed by the love of family and community. Does that make sense? Physical healing, yes, but Jesus said, your faith has made you well. And so faith in this situation, grace-filled faith, here is part of what our faith does when it's filled with grace. Our faith literally carries us into the presence of Jesus. Her faith, out of desperation, but it still carried her into the presence of Jesus. Jesus is the one who always heals. But without her faith carrying her into the presence of Jesus, she would not have experienced healing of her physical body, but also of relationships and emotions. It's just really important that Jesus wants the whole of this woman to experience freedom and healing and new life. And while this was going on, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from Jairus' house to say, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? And overhearing this, Jesus turns to Jairus and he very pointedly says, do not fear, only believe. And so for Jairus, Jesus knows Jairus is filled with fear, for his daughter is at the point of death. And Jairus is so desperate, he falls at Jesus' feet, and scripture says he begs Jesus repeatedly to help his daughter. And so this is not very becoming of a leader of the synagogue, this kind of behavior. But what is so extraordinary at this moment is that the fear that was within Jairus was not holding him back. So when Jesus says to us, do not fear, I think part of what he is saying is that bring your fear to me. Bring your fear out of hiding. Because that's what happens to most of us, I believe, in our life experiences, as we tend to tuck the fear away and just where we don't have to deal with it. When we do that, that only empowers the fear and prolongs its influence. Does that make sense? But when we bring the fear, when you and I choose to bring the fear, to bring our fear out into the light, it gives God access. The fear becomes grace-filled, and part of the miracle is that now that fear that would separate us and isolate us from the Lord is so filled with grace, it becomes the pathway that brings Jairus into the presence of Jesus. You hear that? That our fear, when we bring it out into the open, it becomes transformed. And part of that transformation is that our fear can bring us into the presence of God, where God and we can deal with that. And so Jesus then goes to Jairus' daughter. He took her by the hand. Isn't that a sweet moment? You see just Jesus going to the bedside of this 12-year-old girl and just takes her by the hand and says, "Little girl, get up." And she does just that. It's one of those moments, one of those powerful God moments that wakes us up, shakes us up, that how the reality of the power of God's love and Holy Spirit to bring healing. And immediately it says in the gospel, she gets up and she walks about. Isn't that good description? She gets up and she walks about. So what I want to have you had such an experience where fear was strong? There was a strong influence of fear holding you back, not being able to move forward, uncertain of what would happen. This was many years ago. I was at my first church, St. Mark's Episcopal Church, Newport, Vermont, just down the road from Derby Line, so you know where that is. And I'm just kidding with that now, okay? And it was a week of my ordination. My sister Annie called and said, "Mom's in the hospital. She's been diagnosed with acute adult leukemia." So we went ahead with the ordination, which was the next day. The following day, I flew back to Columbus, Ohio. Family farm was just south of there. And fear and belief, fear was present. Belief was questionable. Because sometimes the Lord gives us a sense of knowing in a situation, and somehow I just knew that more than medical treatment was going to be needed, that prayer, healing prayer, was going to be important. But I didn't know if Jesus still healed today. This was back in 1988. So for some, that's quite a while ago. But Millie, at seminary, literally no teaching on healing prayer. Hardly any teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit. Sort of basics in our discipleship. And so as I was flying back to Columbus, my prayer was a prayer of question. Lord Jesus, do you still heal today? I simply did not know. And I think that question is so important to ask in the church gathered. Does Jesus still heal today? And so we got to the hospital. The family was gathered. I said prayers. Mom was getting some of the best medical care she could that was available, and I said prayers of healing. But what I was keenly aware of, okay, I'm a new priest. My collar is shiny white without any kind of, you know, oil stains or that kind of stuff, and it came to the time of administering the sacrament of unction, the sacrament of healing, anointing with oil. I wasn't able to do it. my own mother, not able to anoint her with oil. I prayed for her. And so on the way back to Vermont, I was struggling. I was on the verge of one of those faith crises. How is it that I could not administer this sacrament to my own mother? So I began to pray, and I was pleading ignorance with the Lord. And there was ignorance. I just didn't have that teaching. But I also kind of heard Jesus whisper, "Don't fool yourself, John. Ignorance is not what held you back from administering the sacrament to your mother." And I said, "Well, Lord, what is it? What was it?" Just one word came: fear. Fear. John, do not fear. Do not fear. For you see, fear, and I've said this before, some of the greatest influences of fear, it seeks to rob us of the joy in the fullness of life that God has for us. And even more than that, the subtlety of fear seeks to talk us in to always settling for less than what God desires for us. Do you hear that? Does that ring true? That fear wants you and I, as the people of God, God's beloved children, to always settle for less than what God desires. This is what was afoot during this time for me. In my the faith crisis, fear was, what if Mom died? Where would my faith be if I administered that sacrament of unction? So the Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. Is that he sent me mentors, and a Roman Catholic priest and a retired dentist. It's kind of a good combination, isn't it? Both dealing with word of mouth, you know, kind of thing. Okay. Well, there you go. Now you got it. All right. At least you're still engaged. Millie did. I just want you to know that both Millie and Lori prayed for me just before the service started. And so during that year, the question was answered. Lord Jesus, do you still heal today? And I had experienced his healing love, his healing light, the power of the Holy Spirit in my own life and in some of those of my parishioners. Jesus still heals today. If there is a question. So I went from a place of kind of unbelief, unknowing, to a place of firm belief. Do not fear, John, because I still bring healing. I heal through medicine. I heal through good therapy. I heal through good pharmaceuticals. I heal through prayer. Isn't it amazing that we have a God who uses all of those ways, the combination, to bring wellness and wholeness to us, huh? Isn't that good? And so I am at, I have 5 minutes? Yeah, okay.
Five.
I was chaplain for a middle school conference in Burlington, Vermont, their version of Camp Henry. And I got a phone call partway through the week. Annie calls and says, "You better get home quickly. Mom's back in the hospital." She'd been in remission for a year, back in the hospital. Running a fever of 105, comatose, neurological signs had set in. The doctors were saying there's nothing more that we can do for your mother. And so this time, so I flew back the next day. I had anointing oil in my pocket because I now believed. And the fear had become grace-filled, carrying our family into the presence. So we gathered that evening around her bed, and we all prayed our heart's desire. I think, you know, it's all right to pray, "Lord, your will be done." I think that's a good prayer. But honestly, God knows our hearts, our heart's desire. So let's pray our heart's desire along with God's will with this. And then before we went, I anointed my mother. And Jesus, I anoint this special lady. I anoint her and bless her with your love, with your peace, with your healing, with the power of your Holy Spirit being released within her that heals her physical body, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I go back home to the family home, Annie, who's a nurse, stays with her. I wasn't real sure, I wasn't convinced that I would see her alive again. Annie calls at 6 o'clock the next morning, said, "Mom's awake, fever's broken, and she's asking for something to eat." Isn't this something? Isn't this the gospel coming alive? And Jesus says to each of us, he still says today, "Do not fear, only believe." Now, Mom eventually died of leukemia about a year and a half later. But the strength that she had, she went back to work. She was the director of a nursing school in the hospital where she was being treated. She had this amazing testimony to share with hundreds of people for a year and a half. And then the Lord eventually took her home, because for each of us, there is a time to be born and a time to die. And from that beginning to the ending, Jesus says to us, "Do not fear, only believe." Amen.